Welcome to Breaking the Underdog Curse for Chiropractors. Hosted by Dr. Don McDonald, author of the best-selling book, The Underdog Curse. We give vitalistic chiropractors a chance to learn from the best around the world, discovering how they overcame their challenges and achieved success. In order for chiropractic to thrive, we must have thriving chiropractors.
It ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Now listen up. It's time to crush the curse.
Are you a people pleaser? I know I sure am. And when you mix that with being a chiropractor, it can create a lot of trauma. I know firsthand, it can wear away at your health, your relationships, and your practice. I term this the underdog curse, and I've spent the last 15 years coming up with a solution. My book, The Underdog Curse, was written to help others live a more authentic life. This is very challenging if you're externally influenced. When you take an externally influenced person and have them try to spread the message of chiropractic, it can be very challenging. If you'd like to get back to who you really are, regain your health, strengthen your relationships, and increase your worthiness, please visit Amazon.com and pick up your copy of The Underdog Curse today. Remember, if we take the time to nurture ourselves, we are much stronger at serving others. For chiropractic to thrive, we must have thriving chiropractors. Well, welcome everybody back to another episode of Breaking the Underdog Curse. This is Dr. Don McDonald, your host. And today, before we get started, I just wanted to let some of the listeners know that Brandy and I are going to be taking our Vitality Shift program on the road, and we're going to be stopping in London, England, and Perth, Australia. So if you want to check out to see if you're available to come to one of our live immersion days, check out www.trueconceptseminars.com. We will be in London in June, and we will be in Perth in September. So make sure you check that out. Now, for my guest, I'm very excited to introduce our next guest. She's had 23 years of sales experience. She won the top 1% of executives in the United States and has won multiple events, or multiple awards. She's had 10 books, seven of which are international bestsellers. She has a podcast called The Millionaire's Hot Seat, which has had 200 millionaires on it. And she is the current executive producer of the Ultimate Sales Summit in Dallas coming this summer. Welcome, Melissa Kurvacek. Did I say it right?
No, it's Kurvacek, but it's Kurvacek. All good.
Okay.
Kurvacek.
Kurvacek. Okay. I tried to practice it, but I didn't get it right. So welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me, Don.
It's awesome. So as you know, I was talking about before our podcast, this is going out to chiropractors all over the world. A lot of chiropractors come through school and they're amazing at being chiropractors, but they're not that comfortable with sales. And a lot of us too, because we just love looking after people, we're not very productive. So what we're going to do is we're going to get in later on into some stuff on sales and a little bit on productivity. But first of all, we'd love to just learn a little bit more about you, Melissa. Where did your professional career start?
Well, when I was seven, so people often ask the question, how did you get into sales and have 23 years when you're only 30? So when I was seven, my parents couldn't afford a bike. So I went door to door knocking, and I sold cookies and greeting cards and pizza and like anything that you can imagine. Now I grew up in a town of 300 people. That's not missing any zeros. That's 300.
Wow.
In Iowa, which is like the Midwest of the States. So obviously, I had to go to these people's doors multiple times and sell them multiple things. And after that, I got into retail. So I've done everything from, door-to-door sales, telecommunication sales, retail sales, online sales, any and every kind of sale that you can imagine. Right. And I'm super obsessed with it. But at the end of the day, my background actually is in clinical psychology. Which I don't really think that helps, but it's there.
It just rounds you out more, right?
Maybe. It's just really an understanding of people and understanding their emotional intelligence levels and why they act the way they act and why they do the things they do. And so that's all beneficial, of course. But yeah, I grew up with super loving parents. They've been married 32 years, and I've got two younger siblings who I love to spend time with.
That's cool. So like when you got out of high school, so you obviously then you went to school and you got your you went into your schooling. And then what did you do right after you got out of school?
Yeah, so actually, I went to school online and I worked as a store manager for Walmart and a district manager for Family Dollar. Okay. So I tried to cram everything all in at the same time. Was it a good idea? No, because it made me drop in and get, you know, go in and out of college like every other year. And then I was like, well, I really got to finish college. And I don't want to finish college. And so entrepreneurship always weighed on my heart. And there was a point in my career where I was like, hey, I'm going to take the dive. And this was probably 2007, and become an entrepreneur. And so I moved to Chicago. And in fact, Family Dollar let me take my job with me, which was never supposed to be the case, but I couldn't get away from the security. Like, I wanted that security. Right. So I did. I took my job with me, but that ended up with a whole bunch of other things happening, because once 2008 hit, I got evicted, my car got repossessed, I maxed out 5 credit cards, I was at my highest weight ever, which was 306, and I went to jail for 6 days for speeding. So just like a multitude of things that happened as a result of wanting to become an entrepreneur. So when someone says that they want to run their own business, they have to understand the sacrifice and commitment and dedication and all the things that go with that. And it's not just getting into business, because you have to understand that business is more than service. It's marketing, it's sales, it's credibility, it's determination, it's staying up late and waking up early and sacrificing all of the things that most people never take time to sacrifice.
Great. Yeah, I know. It sounds like a nice thing. And then when you get into it, you're like, holy smokes, it's a little bit more than you thought, right?
Well, the thing is, I jumped into an arena that I knew nothing about. So if you're going to go into entrepreneurship, you should at least go in to something that you know something about. You don't just jump from your job or from college into a career field that you're uneducated in.
So how did you come out of that with like being thrown in jail and having no money and being broke and everything? How did you pull out of that?
Yeah, so I spent 3 years at my parents' house in their living room using the phone and the internet to connect with people. Until this day, I still do those things. And so people often ask me, am I an online entrepreneur? The answer is no, I market online. But I really love to connect personally with people, because social media is only as social as we are. And so when you get the opportunity to be on the phone or to be, you know, meeting people face-to-face, it's so much better than commenting or writing messages or things like that. Those are all ways to get what you want, of course. Yeah. But it's better longevity wise to have that personal connection. So I used the tools that I had. I watched thousands of hours of YouTube videos. I went to the library and read hundreds of books. And I learned the tools, techniques, and skills needed to progress as much as I could. And then once I was in a position where I had a little bit of money, I actually moved to a city where there was more people, and I continuously moved to bigger and bigger cities once I had a little bit more stability. Mm-hmm. And so you don't want to put yourself in a financial or emotional or psychological state where you're bound to fail, because it doesn't help anyone, and it especially doesn't help serve the market share, and it also doesn't help your personal relationships as far as like intimacy or anything else.
Right. Totally. And so during that time when you were reaching out to people, were you selling something, or were you just like becoming like a super connector, or what was your, how did you pay the bills, so to speak, during those times?
Yeah, a little bit of both. So I remember my first client ever. I did a buy one, get one free for. So buy 1 hour, get 1 hour free. It was $100. Basically, it was $50 an hour. Yeah. And then, like, I worked my pricing up as time went on. But for me, that $100 was everything, because I didn't have $100 and I hadn't had $100 for a long time. And it's not like $100 is going to pay for anything. But the fact of the matter is, I knew if I could sell $100 in 2 hours worth of my time, that I was valuable. So that little bit of confidence made all the world of difference to to my ability to go out and ask for more and expect to deliver the value that I say I could deliver. Now, what I wouldn't recommend, and this is something that I did, was I regurgitated all the YouTube information that I had. So obviously these people knew that, and they didn't say anything about it, and they probably wouldn't because it's $100, right?
Yeah.
So if it was thousands of dollars, it would have been a little bit different. But if you're going to go into a field, be an expert at it, but don't regurgitate the things that you already know, and so does everybody else.
Right. So how did you do that transition? Because I know a lot of times too, for example, in chiropractic, when we learn how to maybe do a first visit or report of findings with someone, we sometimes just regurgitate what someone else says, right? We borrow their certainty or we borrow their information or scripts. And then eventually, once you get enough experience under your belt, you can kind of create your own content. So how did you do that transition from, regurgitating YouTube stuff to kind of coming up with your own stuff?
Yeah, I just found my confidence. And I think that's the one thing that people lack. So you have to figure out ways to increase your confidence. And there are several ways to do it. But you also have to look at your value system. So we can talk about this for a second. The first thing is that you want to look around your room and see what you value. So if there's pictures of traveling on the wall, you probably value travel. If there's some form of religious memorabilia laying around, you probably value spirituality or religion. If there's video games, you value video games. If there's paparazzi magazines laying around, that's what you value. And so we have to look at those things. The other way to figure out what you value is, and I do this with every one of my clients, although they love to shoot me, is for the first 7 days of working together, I make them write down every single thing that they're doing every 15 minutes for 24 hours a day. And some of them try to cheat their way out of it. But by the third or fourth day, you realize how unproductive you're being because you're doing things that you know you shouldn't be doing, but you can't actually control, even though you would like to control. So I'll give you an example. We worked with an executive. We saved him 1,600 hours a year because he spent those 1,600 hours of time reading the New York Times because he thought that's where they're – value came. He also spends another several hundred hours a year writing email campaigns because he thought they would convert. And this took away from time with his kids, it took away from time with his wife, it took away from family activities and vacations he could have been having for the last 23 years in business. But because he thought he was the best, it cost him a lot of time and a lot of effort and energy. And so when we put a copywriter in his possession that was actually good at copywriting, the conversions not only increased dramatically, by increased dramatically, I mean 3 million in 60 days. But his workload got, put to the side so that he could do the things that mattered the most. And those were the exact things that he was taking away from because he was doing these two things. So that's how you're going to figure out, what you value. Now, the confidence piece is a little bit more challenging, but it's not unreasonable. So one of the things that I like to have clients do is literally like strip down, take everything off but your underwear and stand in front of a mirror. And if you can fill the mirror with all the things that you love about yourself, which most people can't even name two or three things, I would say you have a lot of confidence. And if you can't even name two or three things, there's a lot of things that you need to work on. And self-love is one of those.
Yeah.
So, you continuously want to find ways to love yourself. And the easiest way to do that is to strip all the things out of your life that don't allow you to care for yourself. Now, whether you have kids or not, I think it's super important that you take a couple hours out of your week to have date night with your significant other, to put technology aside and shut it off, to get those apps that are, Facebook and YouTube and Twitter and LinkedIn and all that kind of stuff off of your phone so that you're not hearing dinging every other second.
Right.
To go to the sauna and the spa, to make time for the gym every day, to eat healthy, to work out, to do all the things that you know you should be doing, but for whatever reason have decided not to do because you don't put yourself as a priority. Once you put yourself as a priority in business, everything will change.
Right.
For you. You will have more passion, you will have more energy, you'll have more productivity, more clarity, everything.
Yeah, we always say the best thing about your business is it's all about you, and the worst thing about your business is it's all about you.
Yeah, I mean, but really it's about the ability to serve your clients. The only way you can serve your clients is if you care for yourself.
Right, right. So you started doing this and you started consulting, right? So that was one of your main jobs, was you're coaching other entrepreneurs?
Yeah, so I ran a consulting firm for 10 years. And really, like, my passion lied in helping people create systems and find where their gaps in productivity were, to increase their levels of energy, to spend more time with their family, and to generate the amount of sales that they wanted to generate. Now, people come up with numbers all the time. I want to make 100,000. I want to make, you know, 1,000,000. But what do those numbers actually mean to you? And for a lot of people, they have no significance. It's really just a number that somebody came up with a bunch of added extra zeros that say, oh, I made 6 figures. Oh, I made 7 figures.
Right.
And some people go and exaggerate, like, I want to make 8 or 9 figures. And there are very few people that can actually do that.
Right. So that is basically what you helped them get, was get a lot more clarity on kind of what that would mean so that their goals would be more clear to them.
So systems, productivity, clarity, lifestyle, and sales.
Cool. And you did that for 10 years, hey?
Yes, 10 years. And I still do it, but to a completely different degree. I do not run a consulting firm anymore. So, yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that transition, because wasn't that just a little while ago that you kind of you kind of switched from doing the consulting to more what you're doing now?
Indeed, October 5th of 2017, I switched over. So shut down the entire company so that I could focus on delivering, but to a more massive scale. So for me, the question always became, like, you know, you've been doing this for 10 years. The last sort of 4 years, although I was super passionate about delivering, like, I personally wasn't fulfilled. And I couldn't figure out why. Like, why am I not fulfilled when I'm doing the thing that I'm passionate about? And so because that obsession ran deeper than the things that I was able to deliver every day, I had to scale up. And so I shut down the consulting firm and I decided to do a massive event called Ultimate Sales Summit. It's basically a one-of-a-kind sales event in Dallas, 18,500 people, 3 days, and we're not going to be selling from the stage, no pitch fest or anything like that. Super educational, entertaining, and it's all focused on solving two problems. So the first is that salespeople go get a 3-day energy drink, which are all the events that happen currently. They get back to their office and they have no idea how to actually attract quality clients, how to put more money in the bank, how to go from a cold contact to a closed contract. And so I've been on a mission to help them do that.
That's cool. And so how did you come up with that idea?
My mantra in life is really to change the legacy of people's family tree, of your family tree. So in order to change the legacy of someone's tree, they have to integrate sales into their business or into their life. Because sales is the only occupation where you could literally change your lifestyle almost overnight. It's also the only occupation that could fundamentally change the entire legacy of your family tree for generations, not just for a single generation. So we can't compare sales to doctors, lawyers, dentists, or anything else, but at the end of the day, it's the thing that's going to be able to buy you a portfolio of assets. It's the thing that's going to be able to increase the investments in education and build wells in third world countries for clean water. It's the thing that is going to allow you to buy the cars and planes and houses and whatever else you want to buy. It's going to allow you to eat healthier food and do all of those things. So that's a lifestyle. And so you're capped if you're in any other occupation, but you're not capped if you understand the dynamics of sales, how to integrate them into your business, and how to actually get the most out of them.
Right. That's cool. So that's the whole goal, is that if you can get 18,000 people in one place and kind of transform their lives, you'll be making a huge impact with other people.
Yeah, it's so much greater than being able to work with people one-on-one, because there's no ability to do that. I can't work with 18,500 people in a year one-on-one. It's just not possible.
Mm-hmm. Cool. And so how did you go? And I'm going to get into some sales questions, because I know some chiropractors will definitely be interested in that. But just my own, I put on events before, and I was just curious, like, what kind of speakers are going to be coming to that event?
Mm-hmm. So we have everybody that's in the sales industry, has been in decades, has made millions of dollars, has been in business more than 5 years, has helped thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people, and has an actual sales background. So individuals like Ben Gay III, Grant Cardone, we're working on getting Jeff Bezos, the founder of Amazon. You know, really solid salespeople. Myself, Jeremy Miner, owns 7-figure sales training. Judy Hoberman, selling in a skirt. So just a variety of different backgrounds. Ben is 83, I'm 30.
Yeah,
so men, background. Women. Yeah, for sure. So there's not one way to sell, right? There's variations of ways to sell. You could target the millennial, you could target the old schooler, but you have to know how to connect personally with these people. And that's the big thing.
Mm-hmm. So that goes into the next questions. And I'll just give some questions that I know just some chiropractors might have.
Cool.
If, you know, a chiropractor comes out of school, they start their practice, but they don't really know, because again, they kind of hate the word sales because they think it's kind of creepy. So maybe you can redefine sales, because I know that people who do sales know it's not creepy. So what would you say to someone who thinks that sales are creepy?
So first and foremost, forget about the word sales. It's a personal relationship with somebody that allows you to educate them to the point that you don't have to ask for their credit card. They're willing and ready to spend money with you regardless of whatever service or product that you're selling, because it's going to enhance their lifestyle and enhance their body and mind. And that is worth whatever amount of money you're putting on it, as long as you can communicate the value to them and do so in a way that resonates and allows them to come to a conclusion that they want this product or service without you having to actually say, hey, do you want this product or service? They're like, yes, I definitely want it. And so it's not so much about being the old school salesperson as it is, John, about learning to build these very intimate and powerful and personal relationships quickly by building that rapport.
Cool. And so if you had a rookie person who doesn't really know how to do that, do you have any kind of pointers you could help or direction that they could start if they don't not really familiar with how to do that?
Yeah, well, you have to practice. So make sure that the people that you're practicing on are not going to be your highest paying clients, and figure out how to add value to somebody first before bringing them into your business. So if a rookie has no idea how to sell, then maybe bring a potential prospect or potential client in and do something in the chiropractic field that would benefit them, and don't charge them. But then ask them after you've done the service if they'd like to continue every week at this time on this day. And now you've locked into your calendar residual income because of a hour or two that you gave the prospect, and you never had to sell them anything. They were sold based upon their feeling afterwards. So we can think of sales like buying a car, right?
Yeah.
It's not about who you are when you're outside the car. So Corvettes don't sell because they're red or because they have leather seats or because they have a sleek body style. They sell because you become somebody different once you're in the driver's seat. Once you have a chiropractic service, you feel completely differently, and therefore you're going to make a different decision. You're going to want that feeling over and over again. So without having any sales knowledge at all, provide whatever it is that the person's looking for once, and then ask them to commit to coming back as often as you feel they need to in order to best serve them.
That is cool. And so do you have any kind of tips for gaining rapport with somebody?
Yeah, just be genuine. Like, don't try to hide anything. You know, if it's your first conversation, then say that. If it's your first year in business, then say that. Do whatever you can to be as honest as possible, because people will value integrity over anything else. And they'll value your commitment over anything else. And so once you're committed and have integrity, nothing else matters. It doesn't matter that you haven't been in business, you know, 10 years or you haven't provided these services before. Like, I've been to hairstylists before that, you know, it's their fourth day on the job, but it doesn't matter because they're still committed, right? We all start somewhere and we all have to remember that.
Totally. Now, if someone wanted to, say, increase their fees, but they are feeling really scared about doing that, what kind of advice would you have for those people?
Increase your fees little by little. So I didn't go from $100 for 2 hours or buy one, get one free, which I would never recommend, to you know, a $25,000 day overnight. That took 10 years. So the thing with increasing fees is you have to increase your confidence along the way because you have to be able to have the confidence to ask for that. And there's two ways that people ask. So the first way is the shy way. It's the, hey, what do you need? I'll serve you in any way you want to be served. And that rarely ever works because people know that you lack confidence. Therefore, they're not going to pull out their credit cards and buy. The second way is, hey, listen, I can provide you this, and this is what it looks like, and this is what it costs, and this is the time it's going to take to fix that problem in your life. Are you cool with that? And either way, if you get a yes or no, maintain the relationship because maybe 8 years down the line, they'll need you and you'll be there for them because you built that rapport. So in increasing fees, you just have to increase your confidence, and that's going to take a pretty significant amount of time. And I'm not talking about going the direction of arrogance.
Right. Like, don't be a jerk.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, besides obviously going to the sales summit that you're putting on to get some more tips, do you have any resources or anything that you could maybe, or books that really helped you, or anything on YouTube or something that maybe somebody can just listen to kind of get some more information on how to be better at sales?
Yeah, sure. I've got the podcast, The Millionaire's Hot Seat. I've got the 10 books. And my favorites are Og Manzino, The Greatest Salesman in the World. I love Dave Blanchard over at the Og Manzino Group. See who else. There's so many great ones. I love Grant Cardone to a certain degree. I don't listen to everything that he says, but he definitely has some solid points. You know, so Ben Gay the Third, definitely like one of my favorites. He's like my grandpa. He's, you know, ran around and, do you know who Tom Hopkins is?
I've heard of it before, but I don't know very much about him.
Yeah. So he's like one of the top salespeople. And so, Ben ran around with Napoleon Hill and Og Manzino and some of the greats. And Ben will basically say, like, you cannot repossess a speech. So back in the days when speaking wasn't even a thing, him and Og went out and he got the check before Og did, and Og did the speech before he looked for the check. And so he basically says, like, I never want to see that look in someone's face again, because it's the sheer panic of not being able to provide for your family. And it's that look on a father's face when the family is facing a problem and he doesn't know what to do, but he has to figure out what to do and what to do very quickly. And so Ben has been around the industry so long that he actually met Tom in the back of a room when he was giving an event, and Tom was that shy guy that didn't know how to sell real estate. And so Ben was like, you know, hey, let me help you. And now Tom has grown to be one of the best salespeople. But there's so many videos on YouTube. And you really have to go with what resonates with you. Alex Banayan is another great one. His last name is Banayan. The kid is 25. He has built relationships. And by relationships, I mean he sat down and had dinner with and continues to be able to talk on the phone with Warren Buffett and Mark Cuban and Jeff Bezos and all of the billionaires. And the way he did that was he was studying for a final exam, and then he went and he saw a Facebook ad. The ad said, hey, you know, the Price is Right is in town. So instead of studying for the exam, he studied for the Price is Right, won it, and sold the boat, financed his dream for 5 years, and now has a book coming out about how to connect with the billionaires. And so it's really, really cool historian. So it's, you just have to figure out what resonates, search it, find, you know, the greats, find the newbies, and find the people that are as driven as or know more than you.
That's awesome. And for those listening, we'll have some of the show notes. So go to www.drdonmcdonald.com, and then we'll have some of the names that Melissa just mentioned in there as well. Perfect. Cool. So tell me a little bit about, as we call it, the Breaking the Underdog Curse. Tell me a little example of maybe some stress you've had in your life and how, what you've done, or some devastating news or something that's put you off, kind of come out of left field, and how did you recover from that?
Yeah, I mean, I guess last year was probably the worst year I've ever had in business, ever. Yeah. It's pretty much like I took a year off, but at the end of the day, got married, found out that he had another wife, so annulled the marriage after we moved to India, so I had a backpack after giving away the car, the house, and everything else. And once you come back without, kids, so he had two kids, they're 4 and 11, so no kids, no husband, no belongings, no car, no house, no nothing. Wow. It's very difficult to come back from that. So one of the things that I did was, obviously, I wrote a book, it's called 30 Days in Hell. And, just so people are clear, we lived together for 10 months before we even got married. So don't think that we didn't know each other. We totally did. We spent 24 hours a day together. But at the end of it all, it's really about, how do you get into a peak emotional state as quickly as possible? How do you forgive those that need to be forgiven? And how do you move on and make yourself feel good? So, the best way to do that is not dwell on the past. I wrote 405 pages in a week and a half, and then I sent it off to publishing. And so for me, like, that cleared all the stuff out of my system, but then I still had to build back and buy all of the things that I had already had. And so that took a much more significant period of time. And so I was joking the other day, like, I'm back. But it's different because you don't rebuild your life the same way it was, because you know that if you did, that could be a falling stack of cards. So you have to be brutally honest with yourself and, understand that the investments you make now are based on the knowledge that you have now. The investments that you make later are going to be based on, better knowledge or more knowledge. And so if you had the ability to make a better decision or a different decision, you would have, but you didn't. So you just have to know that.
Right. And part, is it forgiving yourself too? Is that part of it as well?
Sure. I mean, but again, you have to be honest with yourself. How did you get in this position? Like, what could have you done differently? If you did those things differently, what could the impact have been? And so just have that conversation, and you want to have close friends and family that surround and support you too. So don't try to do something like this on your own, because what I did, most people would, you know, they would have been devastated for way longer than I was. But that doesn't mean that I wasn't devastated. It just means that I have a better coping ability than most people. And so you want to go through the coping stage as quickly as possible, but you don't want to go through it so fast that, you don't cope. So you want to be very careful about your emotional intelligence, and it's not something to mess around with. So if you need to see a psychologist, I didn't, but if you do need to, I would highly recommend it. You know, a doctor, if you need to see a lawyer, if you need to see your parents, or just spend time not working, all those things are okay. It's okay to cry. It's okay to scream. It's okay to go work out for 3 hours a day. It's okay to do all of those things. And you should do all those things so that you can get back to where you need to be.
Right. Yeah. And then I guess the key thing is every time something like that happens, is you can learn as much as possible, right? Just so that you can close that refractory period and not do that again.
Yeah, for sure. But that doesn't mean that it's not going to go away. It's still going to be there. And so people go through these kind of things every day. They go through death of some kind. They go through devastation, whether it be the housing crisis of 2008 or their business caught fire or whatever the case is. Mm-hmm. And then they go through divorces. And so, you know, it could be the divorce of a bad business relationship. It could be the divorce of their spouse. It could be a divorce of them not having custody of their kids. Whatever the divorce is, or the devastation is, or the death is, there is a grieving period. And so it's very, very important that you take that period to grieve instead of compressing that emotion and those feelings and those thoughts. Because if you do that, you're costing yourself more time in the long run. So it's better to focus on your health first, as you know, than it is to focus on getting back into the business, because you're never going to be able to show up with confidence and with ease and with, you know, being able to run teams and businesses strategically if you don't.
Right. Now, we'll go to the other end of the spectrum. What kind of advice you'd have for somebody? Because I know a lot of chiropractors are like this, because they, you know, they're giving all the time, looking after everybody else, but they're not looking after themselves. And they might have been in practice for 10, 15 years, and then they find themselves totally burnt out. What kind of recommendations do you have for a burnout?
Sell your business. There's other ways to do it, right? So that's obviously my first recommendation. But the other recommendation really is to figure out who could run your business better than you can. So you want to find talent that can run your business better than you, and then allow them to do that so you don't feel the burnout. And when chiropractors burn out, it's a completely different story, because not only is their mind burnt out, their body is physically burnt out. They can't actually perform because they've been working on everybody else's body and everybody else's energy. And so that's consumed them. And I've seen this happen three times with three different clients of mine who were all chiropractors and, you know, had to go to morphine treatments and all kinds of treatments because there was no way for her to physically perform. Now, her business was making $10 million a year, but she couldn't be there.
Right.
And so that really took a toll on her. So it's very, very important that you take time for yourself, and that could be in the form of, you know, going to the chiropractor for whatever reason that you need to go. It could be that you take time for the sauna or the spa or the gym. It could be you just take a day off of work for the week. There's various different ways for various different situations, but you really never should want to, or never should get to the burnout stage. Although I know that happens way more often than people would like to admit.
Right. Totally. Cool. So for people out there who might be interested in coming to your event and maximizing their skills for sales, can you tell them a little bit about like the website and what the date is and where it's going to be and all that stuff?
Yep. So October 5th, we are doing a black and gold gala at the Lincoln Center in Frisco, which is just outside of Dallas, Texas. And that is for the 250 VIPs that will be attending. The following 2 days, which is the 6th and 7th, we will be doing a full-on 18,500 person 10 to 12 speaker event from the morning until quite later at night. And then Monday we will break off into masterminds. And so it's a variation. It's a little bit, it's structured a little bit different than your normal event. That is actually at the Ford Center in Frisco. Again, that's the training center for the Dallas Cowboys. And so the way we've structured it was really for education and entertainment. You can find those details at theultimatesalessummit.com. Make sure you add the in front of it, THE, theultimatesalessummit.com.
Good. And you said that's in October?
Yes, October 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th of 2018.
Awesome. Cool. Well, I'm sure there's some people out there that wouldn't mind sharpening the skills and attending that seminar as well. So what I usually do always at the end of my podcast is have my guests take a couple minutes to just say any closing words of wisdom or words of encouragement for all the chiropractors that listen to this all around the world.
Awesome. So you don't have to struggle. You don't have to do it yourself, and you shouldn't struggle, and you shouldn't do it yourself. So if you're looking for the tools, resources, and education. Obviously, Dr. Dawn has them, or I have them, or there are other people in the world that have them and can help you get out of the rat race. So the normal everyday wear and tear on your body and your emotions and your minds that can elevate you to new levels and elevate your mind and body and spirit and allow you to do all the fun things that you want to do, like go to the, you know, go take a vacation or go do seminars or take a day off and read books and hang out by the poolside or whatever it is that you want to do. So you don't have to struggle and you don't have to do it alone. And I highly recommend that you build systems and teams inside your business that allow you not to have to struggle, not to have to get to burnout and not to have to do it alone.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for taking some time to share your wisdom with my tribe.
You got it.
I appreciate it. So everybody out there, there's tons of information here. You probably want to listen to this again. There'll be some resources. So again, check out www.drdonmcdonald.com and check out the resource page so you can find out about the seminar and then a lot of the different resources that Melissa had given to us today. So like always, take this information, get out there, and crush the curse.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. If you receive value from this episode, please take some time to rate and review us on iTunes or your favorite place to listen to podcasts. If you know a fellow chiropractor that could benefit from this message, please share it with them. Because it's my goal to provide you with great content, please contact me if you have any questions at drdonmcdonald.com or find me on Facebook. I look forward to hearing from you. So until next time, Dr. Don out.